Our intent tonight is not to have a lot of skits. Just keep playing a little. We need some Holden music. Not to have a lot of skits, but to lift up, five or ten very important persons and items to God. Someone said, as I was talking to them today, can't figure out, is this a skit night? I said, I think it's more like worship, because I don't know when one leaves God. And I don't know when God isn't looking. And tonight we want to wink at God a little, or watch God wink back. Dr. Roland Bainton used to say his prayers with tongue-in-cheek sometimes, and he would make up little rhymes and tease God and then wink. I think he sometimes forgot to wink, and he forgot to say amen and would wink instead. He and God were on good terms. And I think tonight that's all we really want to do, is to just lift up something that some people really wanted to bring. And it'll be fun, funny. Some of it will be more sacred, some of it very secular, and some of it profane. But God knows all that. That's all God's language. God knows that. God will not be surprised. If you're very surprised, God would like that, because God likes surprise. And not everything that we're going to do tonight is what the village has, because this village is so full of talent, so full of gifted people, and we hear it in the dining room a lot. I just thought tonight we'd bring it in here to candlelight and look around to see garbage. The cross over on the organ needs to be brought over here. The dancing servant, could someone please take this dancing servant and put it up on the altar? It's getting lonely down there. No one wants to do it? There we go. Bring it up. And the cross from the organ, is there a cross over there somewhere? Has it disappeared? It should be, oh yes, right behind the pitchfork. That would be nice. You don't see that very often at home. When Hazel Holden has characters. Ann Holden has character. It's nice. Today, a child was talking to a walking stick. Yesterday, children talked to trees. The trees didn't talk back, except they said, in a way they do, because they tell birds to build nests in them. And trees can do those things. I put this around me because when I was a pastor in a parish, I always had a rope around me, and I feel like my chasuble doesn't fit unless it has a rope on it. It's a little house. It's a little cloth house. My daughter made it. She learned this foolishness at Holden. It has bells. It has a lamb here. You can wear it so the lamb is on your back or on your tummy. You can put it down here so you can carry the lamb. There's all kinds of possibilities. And it's a rainbow. And with water here, we have lots of great promises. This village was born of God. I would like to have you think that you are an apple. Think that you are an apple. We have nice apples here, good food. Just be an apple and think of these words. I am who I am to be. Apple bloom on apple tree. Apple is my specialty. I love apple naturally, bursting blossoms quietly. Nothing would I rather be than a blooming apple tree. Truly, truly, you can see, looking circumspectfully, I am apple. Verily, now say with me, I am, I am, I am me. Let's try it on a willow. I am who I am today, diamond willow on the way, rooted deep in creek and clay, willow swinging, willow sway, bowing, bending, touching, way, sipping water night and day, drawing water from the bay, sleeping willow, lu-la-li, truly, truly, you can see, I am willow, verily, I am, I am, I am, me. It's very important. We'll do one more, see if it works. You say it with me. I am who I am to be. Juniper, the cedar tree, pointing to infinity, full of grace and dignity. Eagle nest and chickadee, make me their celebrity. Truly, truly, you can see, looking circumspectfully, green is my identity. I am cedar, verily. I am. I am. Me. This is my Father's world. Gertrude walks around the village. She walks out in the woods. And she knows something. She's been doing it for a long time. And some of you maybe don't know her. And tonight, Gertrude is going to sit in the yellow chair on this side right now, okay? And another person in the village, C. P. Lewis O'Callaghan, will sit in the other chair. So we have two people from the village who maybe don't even know each other, and they're going to have a little meeting, because at Holden we have meetings. And Gertrude is going to talk to us about what she has brought.
First of all, I brought a root, and I thought it fit in beautifully with the summer theme of we have to have a past, which is Christ is our memory of the future. We don't have any future unless we have roots and know from whence we come. Neither does this flower, which is a Solomon seal, has no idea what it is until it comes from this root, and that gives us its identity. It's the same with us. When we know what our roots are, which we hope is founded in Christ, we know who we are. I was impressed yesterday. I had a lot of wonderful people with me on these nature walks. And yesterday, Lewis walked with me. And before we left, his daughter said, "Will you speak a little louder? He doesn't hear too well." And he was the most interested person on the walk. He was very, very sensitive. He not only listened, but he had very special eyes. And today I found out that his eyesight's also failing. But he was the most observant. And I thought he was the one that Barbara was talking about even last night in her sermon about seeing things as they are. He was very aware of the shape of the leaves and plants, aroma, and particularly of the trees. And that's when I heard his comments. Isn't it lovely? Isn't that a lovely one? And he'd feel of them. It was a delight to have him with us. So today I brought him a tree. Before we left on the hike, he said, "I could not be a forester. I simply cannot cut a tree," which shows his sensitiveness to something that is living and taken a long time to grow and grow. So I want to give him this little pine tree tonight. I think he can even tell me what it might be.
Oh, that's nice. Can you see?
Yes, I can, and thank you very much. And I appreciate your kind words, and truly I appreciate very much that walk with this lady with such a wide knowledge of plant life and the forest, the trees, and the ground cover. And I hadn't had the experience for a long, long time of accompanying someone with that extensive knowledge. And
Lewis, you and I had a conversation yesterday. You said you had a poem, and this morning you said you had a sight. Could you share either the poem or your sight with us?
Well, the poem is a sawed-off version of a rather well-known poem. I knew it many years ago, 55, 60, nearly 60 years ago or more, and in fact gave it as a piece and an occasion for public elocution. But I am sorry to say that I have forgotten it outside the original four or five lines. The title of it was Two Glasses, and the first few lines will indicate what the subject matter was in the course of the conversation between the two glasses. There stood two glasses filled to the brim on a rich man's table, rim to rim. One was ruddy and red as blood, and the other was clear as the crystal flood. Said the glass of wine to his elder brother, "Let us tell tales of the past to each other. I can tell tales of revels and mirth, of the grandest and most glorious days on earth." And Mr. Brokering said he would have the audience finish the poem by appealing to their imaginations and guessing or making a good shot at saying what form the rest of the poem would take, or rather what the subject matter would be. The other thing is the result of my observations, rather, or my feelings, my expression of how I felt when being away from my native land for a long time. I came back, and just at sunrise from the ship's deck, I took a look and saw the shores of my native Ireland. And I jotted down roughly these few lines. I didn't attempt to embellish it or to do anything more with it. I said, "O Ireland, isn't it grand you look, like a bride in a rich adorning? Sure, I'm home again. Here I am, home again, to bid you the top of the morning."
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. Doris Edmond. Did you hear what Lewis said? He looked out of his window today and he saw Ireland in 1922 here at Holden, and he was home again. I want you to take the mic so we can hear your story real good. Yes.
You have probably heard people who have been here for some time talk about the Beanie Sings. I've had people ask me, what are the Beanie Sings and who is Beanie? Well, I thought it might be nice for me to tell you about Beanie tonight a little bit. Beanie died a couple of years ago, didn't he, Greg? 3 years ago. But he certainly made he was Gertrude's husband. His real name was Brynolf Lundholm, but everybody knew him as Beanie. And he was from the very beginning of the village, he was our village musician. He did everything as far as music was concerned. He played the piano, he played the organ, and he he led the choir. And Beanie is very, very much missed. And people who knew him then come back and talk about him and wonder what happened to the Beanie sings. It's hard to have a Beanie sing without Beanie. But we do have some singing after our meals, and that's what Beanie started. And I wanted to tell you about the very, very first song that the Beanie sings started with. Mm-hmm. It was in 1963, and the village was very primitive in those days. The Lundholms were in Chalet 7, and the Edmonds were in Chalet 11. And we often met up on in the horseshoe there on the grass. And this one day, Beanie came out of his chalet with an old Swedish hymn book. And he said, "Doris, I wonder if you would do something for me. I have a favorite old Swedish hymn, and I think it would be nice if we could make some words, some Holden words to that melody." So I got started on it, and this is the result. I thought you might like to learn to sing it. We'll ask.
I think we probably heard it now. We can hum a.
Esther doesn't know. That's right.
You're ready to sing it in a moment.
Follow the words.
Here we go.
Apart, mid towering pines and mountains, a place apart to think and pray and do. We thank thee, God, for thy rich gifts to hold them.
Snow fields of white and skies of breathless blue.
A place apart where all in Christ may gather to worship God far from the city dear. Refresh us now in fellowship to apart with him. There's a typo in the next line. It's prepare us now.
Prepare us now as we renew at Holden, that we might more effective servants be. May thy sustaining grace and power be with us as we return to live our lives for thee. Calm and serene as these thy mountains glorious, refreshed as flowers beside a tumbling stream. Thank you, Doris. I'd like the gardener to come, a garbologist to come with some wisdom. I'd like a little fanfare. We have two mics. I'd like a garbologist to take a mic, and I'd like for some wisdom from a gardener too, so that we can have a little insight in what the spirit of a garbologist is and the wisdom of a gardener. We have two mics and we'll have fanfare.
Can I go over there?
Want to hear what a garbologist says? So get close to the mic, and I'll come here to the gardener to make sure that you have a mic.
Well, nothing like spontaneity. I was sitting back in the row thinking about what we do, and God always draws a neat parallel in nature to our lives. And we've heard it said and said again, but it's true that a lot of times we hit upon rocky roads that aren't supposed to be where they are. And I didn't put that in there. And that a lot of times we really need to be pruned. And there's parts of us that are hidden behind the beauty of our lives and the beauty of ourselves that are hidden, that may be secret thoughts that we have, thoughts that no one knows, but God hears. And they may have little fake flowers on the outsides of them, but they're not true thoughts of God. And so, as we all know, God takes that and he prunes it from us, and we grow better, and growth comes out of that pruning. And just like the flowers, God does that with us. And as a gardener, you spend a lot of time picking little dead things and picking the bugs out of the flora. But it's a good thing that God does the same with us.
As a garbologist, we're always picking through the dead things. Right now, I'm separating plastic from paper. The only thing that really we see any fruit from in garbology is the compost, which there's way too much of lately. So I would encourage you to eat your food and eat all of it, because it's easier to deal with as sewage. Well, maybe not in this situation. But as we were thinking today, it's sort of funny, looking through the garbage and thinking about talking about something and being worshipful, but yet being funny, something that people hardly ever discuss. And there's quite a few here, but I don't think I'll pick them up and let you see them, but feminine hygiene napkins, okay? Feminine hygiene napkins. Doesn't really come up in everyday conversation, okay? But it's there. It's always there, and there's always garbage, and it's always with you. Of course, a lot of times in our communities, we don't talk about things like South Africa, Nicaragua, speaking in tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, full immersion baptism, some things that Lutherans don't usually talk about. And sometimes they don't even like to see them. And even when they see it, oh my gosh, they don't even like to believe it. So, in our experience as garbology, composting is the best thing to do. So if you can compost some of these things into your life, it might be worth your while.
We have lifted up the gardener. We've lifted up the garbologist. Holden brings solo instruments. There is in the dining room a solo instrument that some of you have heard. We will now have a solo. It's called the Vacuum Sweeper Solo. I was told that it was in the key of H. I thought H stood for Holden, but I heard it stood for Hoover. And it will be a solo indeed. We had piano, organ, accompaniment arranged, but the solo wants to solo.
With which to dance. And so I would like to ask you to be my record player. Or, well, the record player and the record at the same time. It's okay. The song is a popular song. It's very simple, I think. Don't worry, it uses inclusive language. You can sing it to either male or female, it makes sense either way. The keywords are bop, bebop, and bop. And it goes like this, and listen, it's upbeat, and I would like you all, after you get it down, to sing it for me. It's my record. It goes like this. I wanna pop, baby, all night long. I wanna pop, baby.
In Holden Village, you've often heard the sound of glass. Well, tonight, looking into the future, it's the sound of brass. Once in a while, we'll hear. It's a very important sound. It will happen.
No Holden meeting could be complete without an announcement. Special announcements. I'm really glad the garbologists were up because this is really an announcement that has to do with the garbologists. The miners and the squirrels and the lions are all reminded to bring their swimsuits to the garbologists tomorrow morning. After breakfasting with the garbologists, they will visit the stream for log rolling about 10:45. A related announcement is that the beavers should meet at the river at 10 o'clock to gnaw down some trees for the logs.
I want you to know that Elmer is listening tonight. In just a little while, Elmer is going to give us some insight into what is happening. But first, we need some excellence music because there is excellence in the village. And in the future, this excellence will be tested. I want you to hear some excellence in music. I'm going to ask an excellent professor from Harvard to come. Providing excellence. I'm sure someone from Harvard can make some sense of this.
If Thank you very much, Herb. I want you to know that since Holden is interested in justice, that there is an injustice that I want to bring to your attention. I often have to grade papers, and right in the middle of the paper, you'll meet something like this. It'll say, this is on the Renaissance and the Reformation and the medieval period, and it says, the problems of the Renaissance man were nothing like the problems of the middle-aged man. Or another one that says, with one foot in the Middle Ages, with the other they saluted the dawn of a new age. That's worth an A. Or the definition of Magellan. Who's Magellan? Magellan is the man who circumcised the globe with a 90-foot clipper. And I considered whether I really should share this next one with you because it is profane, but we're Lutherans. I had an essay where a woman, a very bright woman, was writing about St. Paul's attitude towards women. Not a good topic. And she wrote, I kid you not, St. Paul and his attitude towards women had countless supporters, but she dropped the O in countless. That is worth all the extra credit you could give.
I'd like to follow that with a song of mercy right now. And at another mic, I would like to have Lucas come. And I think you'll see a comparison. Just stand and be at the mic, please, while we hear a song of mercy. I gave this song in the village a few days ago to Cheryl, and someone wanted to hear it again, and we went through two sessions, and she still hasn't had a chance. So I would like to hear it.
Sing a song of mercy, now let there be light. Sunshine in the daytime, moon and stars at night. When the day was over, angels all did sing. Wasn't that a wondrous gift, a gift for God to bring? Sing a song of mercy, now let there be seas. Land and sky and grasses, now let there be trees. When the time was over, air and wind did sing. Wasn't that a wondrous gift, a gift for God to bring? Sing a song of mercy, now let us make bees. Bird and things a-creeping, fish inside the seas. When the days were over, whales and birds did sing. Wasn't that a wondrous gift, a gift for God to bring? Sing a song of mercy, now let us take clay. Man and woman, arise, earth is yours today. When the day is over, all the earth did sing. Isn't life a wondrous gift inside of everything?
In the great newspaper of life, somebody has to be the comic pages. And in a place where there are wimp hikes and toilet seat goodbyes, some of us feel at home, which may tell you a little bit about our mentality and our humor. But Luke Lucas is one of the Looney Tunes in my life who talked me into this. And there are several other loony people in the village, as you know, and one of them happens to be the host for this program, Herb Brokering. And so I wrote an ode to Herb. Could the ELCA celebrate Herb Brokering Day, or would that be the end of the merger? Can a man who's so vague and needs a stick for his leg be a hero who's worthy of note? He hums and he haws, moos, hoos, and baws, and says many things worth a quote, but he smiles and he twinkles and he looks past a few wrinkles to share in the wisdom he wrote. Neighbors say he will talk to plant, tree, or rock, to deer, or even mountain goat. His imagination runs wildly, and that's putting it mildly, or festivals and crumbs he doth gloat. He hears other voices, and for this he rejoices. On Bach and on music he doth dote. Like Jesus, his master, he doesn't go faster, but serenely, almost slowly, seems to float. God called him to dance, to laugh, twirl, and prance, to music, and to quiz, and to quote. He deals in the ephemeral, and with freedom his life is never dull, but he's captain and steward of his boat. With rainbow and kite, flower cloth and star bright, his lessons warm us like a coat. He's a dreamer with a dream, and a Joshua with ice cream. Bags, rooster, and sticks he will tote. And then I'm sorry, this is plagiarism, but I don't think it's copyrighted according to the man that wrote it because he couldn't think of a title. Oh Holden, oh Holden. Oh Holden, oh Holden. Oh Holden, oh Holden, oh Holden. Can this man lead us to community, to God's ever new opportunity? Maybe at Holden we'll vote. As the question returns, in our hearts it still burns, the one of which I first wrote, can the ELCA celebrate Herb Brokering Day, or will that be the end of the merger? And here he is, Herb Brokering.
Hello, Vern. Just got to get a few props set up here. Look through the bag. Got a few things tonight might have a little thought about. One of the things we need to look for is a good little sound for a moment of silence and meditation. Let me see what we have. The Polish Bible. Would you like to read a page? Would you like to read a page? The Polish Bible? Would you like to read a page of the Polish Bible? Would you like to read a page? That's all they have. We've been thinking and contemplating the deep meaning of life from moments of meditation. I want you to meditate to this sound. Would you like to hear that again? What does that signify? What is that? Think for a moment. Reach out. Let your ears listen. Feel deep down inside. Again, listen carefully. It is easy to get sucked into a vacuum. Now that's something to think about. Think of the vacuum. Think of life. Think of the sounds. As a bus driver, we meet all kinds of people coming and going. Herb is a little flaky. And we appreciate that, and I think that's important for Holden. He asked me to do a little story this evening and to find somebody who I thought would be a good character to imitate. Boy, I tell you, couldn't ask for a better one. So, Herb, if you'd like to have them meditate for a moment, okay?
Thank you. I think. We need ice cream. I'll have to have you hold that for a moment. I hear children in Poland. I know babies who need layettes, and we gave them to the unborn in Poland. I like this. I didn't like that sound. It was an interrupted cry. In 1 week, I'll be in Poland. I'll be with them and layettes and walking sticks on a journey. There's a wonderful hymn that was born in this village, and we want to sing it, and Barbara will teach it. It's a beautiful hymn. I think we can learn it tonight. It's a hymn that should go home. I'm going to take it with me to Czechoslovakia, behind the Iron Curtain. It's a hymn that we can learn tonight. Barbara. Yes? No, your hymn. The one that was born in the village. The one that we heard yesterday. It's a hymn that we want you all to know. I think we can have rehearsal.
Holden is a place of great creativity, and we give thanks for the many, many artists and poets and creative geniuses who have come here. For example, Rich Kemmerer earlier this summer painted this wonderful mural behind you here. Many people have shared many incredible gifts with us at Holden, and we've received a new poem at Holden this week that I want to share with you in the form of a song. I'd ask you to stand for this, please. I think we need to stand as we honor this poem, and it's one that I think you'll be able to memorize here tonight and take back home with you to sort of share the spirit of Holden. And I invite you to join me. You'll pick it up as we sing along. Holden. One of the things that's hardest to do at Holden is to say goodbye. And this is a song about goodbyes. Other than that, it has no connection to anything at all. But it is a song in which Barbara will be featured on the guitar, and I will be featured on my nose. And so first, before we do anything, we do have to tune up.
When people applaud, we can use that applause in any direction we want to. I would like for that applause to go in the direction of the pool hall, because we would like really for Dr. Wes Preeb, because he does have a PhD, pool hall director, and would like to have Dr. Preeb come to the microphone over there by the chicken. He's not a chicken, but at least he'll know where he is. And over here, we'd like to have Elmer come and sit in this yellow chair and observe this beautiful cake that has been prepared for Holden. As he unveils it secretly, he can study it and look into the face of this beautiful cake, which we will share with the community in a moment. These two marvelous things are happening at once. We have a very great honor tonight because Dr. Sene has recognized in his little while here that Dr. Preeb is an unusual character and would like to would like to, I guess he'd like to do something to him. I don't know what he wants to do to him, but we'll see.
This man sure is anxious, isn't he? It's customary for us to say at the beginning of a ceremony like this, will the marshals please bring forward the honorary candidate? Operating manager, registrar and assistant registrar, fire chief, electrician, carpenter, plumber, and all the rest of you folks. Fellow citizens of the village of Holden, it is daily clear to all of us that while he is not officially listed on the roster of the teaching staff, this man whom we are about to honor is probably the most influential educator in the whole village. For while the staff of Narnia may amaze and amuse the little people, and teaching staff, so-called, may help the older set pass the days, it is our honoree who teaches the real lessons of life. Where else can you learn how to manage a pool cue which is twice as long as you are tall? Where else can you learn to get that hard-to-reach shot when you are too short to rest your center of gravity on the edge of the pool table? Where else can you learn how to eat popcorn and drink lemonade while holding a cigar in your mouth and a pool cue in your hand? Academics have yellow note pages. Page 2. I missed part of that. And where else can all that be done at the same time while you're blowing cigar smoke out of your ears? We all know that these and many other fundamentals of Christian living are daily taught in Wes's classroom just beneath this very place. For these very reasons and many more, the appropriate boards and committees of the village of Holden have determined the appropriateness of conferring upon our mayor and fellow villager an honorary doctorate, noting, however, that he already owns the PhD, pool hall director. It was determined to confer upon him the PhF degree, pool hall fundamentals, pronounced. Got that. Finally, since Holden Village is not a degree-granting institution, we have been in mental telepathic communication with academic institutions around the country. Finally, we have found one which is both qualified and willing to confer this particular degree, PhF, pool hall fundamentals. Therefore, by the authority of the state of Windiana, vested in the board of directors of Valpo Rain Snow University in Valpo Rain Snow, Windiana, and by that board vested in its president, and by him vested in its dean and academic vice president, and by him vested in the department chairman, and by him divested in me, that was easy, I hereby confer upon you, Wesley H. Preet, the degree doctor of Pool Hall Fundamentals, honoris causa. It helps to put the hood on first. But then,
whatever. Lacking an appropriate sheepskin, we have, I believe, from Gary Potter, Gary the Potter, it is, Gary the Potter, a Holden pot, a genuine Holden pot, to be included in your great museum collection down below in remembrance of this particular decree.